throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got plenty of stuff to talk about on the field, off the field, on the court, off the court. How surprised were you yesterday when the news broke just after our show that one Doug Gottlieb is going to be a head basketball coach?
I mean, not really. I mean, I thought good for him. There's always been rumblings, obviously, with the OSU. Anytime OSU came open the last couple times, that he was wanting the job, maybe not considered, but wanted the job.
Yeah, is this a way
this is a good move. This is good, because that's what I think the holdup was he has no experience. Why give him the keys to a D1 job? This is a good move for him.
Wisconsin, Green Bay. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Is one of the phenomenon's over? That phenomenon
the Northern Lights?
Caitlin Clark.
Oh.
And not really because of her, just because she went from something that people care about to something nobody cares about. That's a question I've got. NBA playoffs tonight. Obviously a huge game in downtown OKC. Will the Thunder make a starting lineup change? Should they? Will they? Should they? And if they do, who should be the change? What about Dallas? You think they change much, or do you think they just figure, you know what? We were 12 of 23 from the free throw line. That is a huge anomaly. If that goes away, we'll go ahead and win this game. And then how long has it been since the Thunder have played a game this big? When was the last game that was this big? In Oklahoma City, or just period? And then last night, game fives, one in the East, one in the West. We'll talk about how those went. And then it's time. We're going to have to do a PGA Championship preview. Starts tomorrow. We know some tee times. Got some odds. Valhalla. A massive golf course. Do you like that it's happening in May instead of August? We previewed all this. And then why isn't the PGA more highly regarded, considering it literally has the best field in golf every single year? Also, update from Rancho Santa Fe, California. Today is the day. Round 3 of the college golf regionals. The in-state schools, both OU and OSU, battling. Battling to get into the national tournament. And we'll tell you where they're at right here as they see. Have they started yet? Nope. Have not got going just yet. So we'll tell you where they're at as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else is on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website last night at midnight. That is thepennynews.com. So you can check that out today. Print copies tomorrow all over. Pick up a free copy of the Penny News. You can do a double dip. Pick up last week's now and this week's tomorrow. In some locations, you can do that tonight. Also, Big Elk and Paragon TV. Big Elk TV will have the Elk City graduation, 4 o'clock Saturday. Paragon TV, Canute. You've got Canute rolling through Paragon TV, is that right? You're streaming that? Is it not?
Friday
graduation.
Night. Yes,
Friday
yeah.
night.
Sorry, I was reading something.
What
yes.
time?
7 o'clock.
Yep. 7 o'clock Friday night.
Yeah, we'll get that rolling.
And 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon for the Elk City graduation. What else we got? Oh yeah, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can find us anywhere where podcasts are. How are you today, Jared?
Very well. How are you?
Got your OKC Thunder hat on.
Yeah. Let's go.
Are you? How long has it been since you've been this thundered up?
Oh, I don't know. I'm maybe a minute since they've had to rebuild it. Sure, but it's exciting. It's exciting times.
Are you more or less thundered up now than you were, say, for the bubble playoff series against Houston?
Oh, like 100% more. Wait, I never found that as a real playoff thing. Right? Felt weird. Yeah. So, no, this is way more than that. Way more. Think of it because that was like a bridge season. Like, we knew that wasn't going to be the long-term solution with that makeup of the team. That it was just, they were just better than I think what people expected. This is the long-term solution, what we're seeing now. So it's a little bit more exciting, knowing whatever happens, and I've said this since playoffs started, whatever happens from this point on is a bonus, but whatever happens after this, win or lose, the future is still very, very, very bright. As opposed to the bubble season when it was over.
You knew what was next.
You knew what was coming. So, yeah, I'm very much thundered up. Should be an exciting game. Paycom's going to be rocking.
Should be fun. We'll talk about that coming up. All right. First, off the top of the show, we're going to do a little golf. PGA Championship starts tomorrow in Louisville, Kentucky, at Valhalla. Valhalla has hosted, this will be the fourth PGA Championship they have hosted. They also hosted a Ryder Cup back in like 2008, maybe. It is, I think I've been reading, over 7,600 yards, like 141 yards longer than it was in 2014 when Rory won. The winner so far at Valhalla, PGA's Mark Brooks won in 1996, Tiger won in 2000, and Rory in 2014. So the last two winners were the best players in golf at the time. And so when you look at the field coming in, it's a little bit different than the Masters as far as the quality of play for some of the guys that you expect to see at the top of the leaderboard. You know, back at Augusta, really only Scottie Scheffler, and maybe you could put Xander on that list, were playing well. You didn't know about the LIV guys because they hadn't played much yet. And so it was like, well, Scottie Scheffler's playing by far the best golf in the world. And what happened? He dominated. This major, now Scotty won his last start, but you've also got a couple other guys that you would figure would be toward the top of the leaderboard that also won their last start. Rory McIlroy last week, and over on LIV, Brooks Koepka, who is the defending champion, he won in his last start on LIV. So it feels a little bit different to me with the quality of these guys coming into the PGA versus what we saw back in April at Augusta.
You love the field though, right?
It's like the best field in golf.
Yeah.
It's the absolute best field in golf. Part of that is the qualification process that allows the PGA to basically select their field as opposed to, you know, Augusta, it's a shorter field anyway. They don't invite as many people. And then there's qualification processes for the U.S. Open and the British Open that chew up spots. Mm-hmm. From some of the top guys, and just the way it is. And so that leads the PGA to having that strongest field, and they're more than welcoming of LIV guys. So they've invited basically all of them. They're giving them a spot. And so, yeah, I think this is great. And it leads me to, like, the last question on the list, but it is the best field in golf every single year. If that's true, then why do you think, and maybe it's not to everybody else, but at least to me, why do you, it feels like the PGA is by far the least prestigious of the four majors? Those two things shouldn't be the case. If it is the best field in golf, you wouldn't think that it would be the least prestigious, but for some reason it feels like it is.
Is it because of location, moves around? I don't know. Why would that be? It's hard. I don't know. What are you hearing as far as why that would be from those who know, you know, those on the Golf Channel or whatever?
It seems silly to say this, but it's just always kind of has been.
That's,
you know, it's gone through a bunch of different formats. You know, way back in the day, it was a match play thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then that stopped. Once TV kind of got involved, and I think it, at certain points there were maybe the golf courses that, if you just compare it to the U.S. Open, maybe weren't as renowned, and maybe the PGA took chances on different courses that the U.S. Open wouldn't. Some worked, some didn't. You know, being the last of the four for years and years in August might have kind of put it there. You know, history. I just don't. I think a lot of those things go together. But it, the one thing I will say is, since it's moved to May, it feels like it's more important. You know, it's the CBS always had Glory's last shot when it was in August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was kind of the mantra for the PGA.
Maybe it was fatigue by then. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's like in the last, you know, if a lot of, you know, anything, if you got four and you go last, maybe you're, it's just natural thought process of, well, it must be the worst because it's the last.
Well, whatever happened to best for last? Save the best for last.
It doesn't. It never has gotten.
Now it works for the Masters or Daytona. It's always the first.
That's right.
So, yeah, maybe moving the date will help. On the text line mentions history. We talking about, you know, you can always find in your mind the greatest shots in golf. Does PGA have any? Does the championship have any of that?
Yeah.
That comes to mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just trying to find a reason why it's not the most popular, why it's not as prestigious.
Yeah, and I just think it's getting a bad – I think at the end of the day, the answer is it gets a bad rap. I mean, it's probably – I mean, it's always going to be compared to the U.S. Open, and maybe the U.S. Open, you know, it's the people's champion because the people, me and you, literally could – qualify or have the we're not
sure.
Locked out,
right?
You know, and I think there was a period of time where the PGA was kind of trying to find itself as far as how it wanted to set golf courses up, what golf courses it wanted to go play, and it really didn't, maybe it just didn't have an identity for a while, whereas the U.S. Open has, it's the hardest test. The British Open has Lynx and Rain. And, of course, the Masters has Augusta National. So maybe that's part of it, where it never really could find its identity. But I think maybe it has now, playing in May as the second and not the last. And I think that the golf courses and the way they've set it up over the past decade or so, the players have enjoyed, instead of just being the brutal challenge of what the U.S. Open presents and how they choose, the USGA chooses to set the golf course up. PGA of America doesn't necessarily do it that way. I think that's helped, you know, maybe helped a little bit in the prestige around mm-hmm. what the PGA is. And I think they've started going places more often that you would have seen U.S. Opens at in the past.
Yeah.
Valhalla. It's an interesting place. You know, it's as a young course in this rotation, it's hosted some, well, this will be the fourth major and also the Ryder Cup back in 2008. And it's produced fantastic champions. Absolutely fantastic. With, you know, the best player in the world the last two times the PGA was there won. It's changed since we've seen it last as far as the grass. Back in 2014, the fairways were bent grass. That has been changed to zoysia. Hmm. One would think that would make it play longer just because of the nature of bent versus zoysia. Maybe not. Maybe it's more springy. Who do you just chalk in your mind of who could win? Do you have somebody that the odds are fascinating to me? So no surprise, Scottie Scheffler is, and you know these odds could have changed since this article was written on Tuesday, but at least on this list, Scheffler 3-1 favorite. He's the favorite with McIlroy second at 6-1, Koepka at 10-1. You have any problem with those three kind of being the favorite?
Not at all.
I don't either.
I mean, you just said it the last, what, two times, three times it's been at Valhalla? The best golfer in the world has won this thing? I mean, that coupled with the fact Scotty's the, I believe, still number one in the odds on favorite, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
No, it's a safe bet. That's what it is.
Yeah, and those three being the top three makes sense to me as well. I think there's some interesting numbers, though, as you start going further down the list. Not surprised to see Xander in the top five. He hasn't won, but he's been around. Ludvig Åberg, they're both 12-1. He's a little bit gimpy. Knee, I think. Then Rahm at 14-1. Then you start getting even longer and longer shots. Like, you know, a guy that was really ballyhooed going into the Masters and then laid an absolute egg was Wyndham Clark. He's down at 25-1 with the likes of Bryson and Morikawa. And then you look down at 45-1. You see Dustin Johnson. That seems insane to me. That he would be that far down and you could get that good of odds for Dustin Johnson. That has to be one.
I haven't really heard from him lately.
It's just because he's on live.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that just kind of looking. Another guy that's fallen off the map after. I mean, if I'd have told you after the Ryder Cup last summer. That in the second major of the year, Victor Hovland would be 35-1. You might have tied me up in a straitjacket. He might have been the favorite. Instead, 35-1, and he hasn't played very well. Broke up with his short game guy, making swing changes. It's not surprising to see him there, but it is considering the form that he had just a few short months ago. All right, so who you got? Top three and your dark horse outside of the top 25.
I got to be reminded of the top 25. But, it makes sense, right? Scotty is going to be, I'll pick him number one. I'm not picking Rory, but side note, interesting news about him and what's going on in his personal life. And he's the second favorite. According to these odds I'm looking at, is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that do to his head? You know, that's a...
Does it free him up? You know, here's the deal.
Or is it bearing him down because he's going through all this?
He won four?
It's not like it's... we joke about relationships and stuff, but that's a thing he's dealing with. I don't know if that's...
Didn't bother him last week.
Yeah, that's true.
He won four majors as a single man. He hadn't won one as a married man.
Hmm.
So now?
Well, when does it go final? That's the you know?
Where is Denny McCarthy?
Is this a quickie divorce and it's done before the weekend?
Question on the text line, where is Denny McCarthy at? 29. So he would be eligible to be a dark horse.
Mm. Well, back to, I'll go Scotty 1. Give me John Rahm. 2. I'm not ready to put Javi there. But I don't know why I've always been going to this guy, but let's go Tommy Fleetwood. Yeah, for my third. And my outside, it has to be outside the top 25, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My dark horse. Da-da-da-da. Where are you at? Yeah, JT. Is he in it?
Yeah, JT is 31st.
Yeah. Give me Justin Thomas.
At home, by the way. He's a Louisville kid.
Yeah, give me him.
He's a 2-time winner of the PGA.
Let me write this down.
He's been in pretty decent form for a lot of this year. I mean, I hate to just – it almost feels like cheating to do what I'm doing for my dark horse. It really feels like cheating, and the only reason this guy's available is because he plays on LIV. But at the 39th spot in the world official world golf rankings sits Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, I almost went there.
I mean, there's I can't pick anybody else as my dark horse. If he's available, I would have him in the top three. But since he's available as the dark horse, give me Brooks Koepka as my dark horse. In third spot, I will take Xander. Oh my gosh, I'm going to go right up the rankings. This isn't going to be any fun. I'll go Xander third, Scottie Scheffler second, and I think Rory McIlroy is going to break his long majorless drought. I'll take Rory as number one. What's everybody else got? 225-9698 is the text line. 225-9698. Look at me and Will. Rory one, Scottie two. He's got Alex Noren three. Any thoughts on what we might see out of one LT Gray? Any expectations?
None.
Is it going to be just ceremonial? If you make the cut, great. If not, or do you think
It's actually kind of the same approach I had with the Masters, but it was like that was, what would we say, sad to watch.
Yeah,
kind of sad to watch. So I have zero expectations. I hope he plays well. I hope he makes the cut, but I hope it doesn't look. I hope he doesn't look like a beat down horse coming down the stretch on Sunday. I mean, in dead last place or something.
Right.
You know.
Oh no, that's. I hope that that's not the case. Like I would, I'll be honest with you. I'd almost rather see him miss the cut than make it just to, yeah, look like it's a perfect analogy because of where this tournament's at. Look like an old horse that needs it to be taken out
to
pasture.
I didn't mean to do that, but yeah.
I mean, it really, it's just sad.
It is. But he's such a competitor.
He literally
cannot walk. That would keep him off a course. If he just can't walk.
Yeah.
Or pick up a club. But he's, as long as he can do that, he's going to play.
Yeah, he ain't quitting. Will you be nauseated by the Michael Block story if he happens to play well again?
Not really.
You remember him? He was the PGA pro from last year.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah, no, it'd be cool. It'd be cool.
People were up in arms. I mentioned that they had stopped the press conferences yesterday.
Yeah.
Because of the storms.
Uh-huh.
One guy missed his press conference. You know who it was?
Him?
Michael Block.
Okay.
Like I said, that's the part
didn't
that kind of
derail my day. But side notes, just kind of, how do you think? We kind of touched on Javi. I'm just kind of bringing local flair into it. Ricky's in this thing.
Yeah, Ricky's playing with John. I just pulled up the tee times are really interesting. Because off of number one tomorrow morning, it's like, who are these guys?
Yeah, I know.
But then once you get to the afternoon, starting at 107, which I assume is Eastern time.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. I assume it's East.
Yeah, yeah.
So then starting at 107, you've got Taylor Gooch, which that's a guy a lot of people are looking at. And that's a guy, maybe of everybody there, he might have the most pressure on him of everybody to play well, to try to get qualified into the other majors. But you got Gooch and Cam Davis and Harris English. Then you got Day, Lowry, and Hogard. Minwoo Lee, Gary Woodland, the next group. Then you got Morikawa, Phil, and Fitzpatrick. Ricky, Rahm, and Young. Scheffler and Clark and Brian Harman, which is that U.S. Open, British Open, Masters group, winners or reigning champions that the PGA always goes to. You know, Cantlay and Vigegas and Will Zalatoris, you know, those are big, big, big names all stacked up in the afternoon off one. Then you go to number 10 in the morning, and it's firepower galore Oberg, Shoffley, JT, Tiger, Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley, Rory, DJ, Justin Rose, Cam Smith, Hideki, Victor, Kepka, Max Homa, and Spieth, Finau, Tyrrell Hatton, and Tagala, DeChambeau, Fleetwood, and Bhatia. And it's interesting the way they've got it separated. I think it makes a lot of sense. Because if you want it, like, you can watch those early number 10 tee times. About the time they get done, if you're there, it fires right back into number one with the big guys that are teeing off the front nine. It's very interesting. I don't know that I've ever seen it quite separated like that.
Mm-hmm.
To that level. All right, man. Leland has Max Homa, Scheffler, and McCarthy. I think those are all possibilities. All possibilities. It's going
to
be fun.
You know, it'd be fun to see is Chris Goddard.
Yeah, won last week. Former Oklahoma Sooner. Hits it an absolute mile, but yeah, he tees off at 252.
Well, you know me. I didn't put him on my list, but I'm always a guy that's a recency, right? Like, mm-hmm. How did he play last weekend? Or
sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
It works, sometimes it doesn't. But he might be an up-and-comer to keep an eye on. I'm not making him my dark horse by any means, but he's a local guy. Had a good weekend last weekend. Maybe he can keep it going.
Last thing in golf is the regional tournament, both OU and OSU, at the same golf course. The Rancho Santa Fe Regional, the Farms Golf Club. This is clearly a tough golf course because there's not a single team in the tournament under par. So they play one more round today. Top five teams advance. Look at the leaderboard. North Florida is +3. They are leading. California, University of California, Golden Bears, +4 in second. West Virginia, +5 in third. The Cowboys are +6 in fourth, and the Sooners are in fifth right now at +8. One shot ahead of San Diego, who is +9, and then Arizona State, who is the top seed in this regional, back at +11. It probably stops there with teams that are actually in the mix, because in South Florida is 21 over, 13 behind OU. That's going to be hard to make up with all those teams kind of in the mix. But a big day for both OU and OSU today to try to get into the national tournament. You know, you look at the scores, an even par round looks like to me would absolutely get either team in. 280 is even par. Cal shot even par in the first round. West Virginia shot even par in the second round. OSU shot 2 under in the first round, and North Florida shot 3 under in the first round. So 4 out of 28 rounds at even par or better. So that would tell you that another even par today, and OU and OSU are both, I think, be comfortably in to the national tournament. The local flair from OU, Ryder Cowan, struggled in day one to a 74, which is 4 over. Yesterday was 5 over par through 12 holes, and then rattles off 3 birdies in his last 6 to finish 2 over, which was a counting score. You wonder if maybe he found something. Mm. And then today, kind of keep that rolling, whatever he found there in the last 6 holes yesterday, to battle back and help Oklahoma be in the 5th spot instead of even further down. So we'll see what Ryder can do. He's played really well all season long. And maybe those last 6 holes yesterday turned his deal around and he can really kind of get it going today. So that'll be something to watch for the in-state schools this afternoon out in California.
Now, something about Ryder that I keep reminding myself is this is his – he is a true freshman playing on this. I mean, each round of golf is bigger than his last.
Yeah.
And so this is something he's learning. And I like what you say about figuring things out. So he's just going to get better and better.
Yeah, hopefully
he's going to be fine.
Okay, coming up June 1st, we have Red Knights You know, we're Red Knights near and dear to our hearts, mm-hmm. obviously, yeah. the KECO with the Dream League and all that.
I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but they are usually the best cooks at our tournament.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good.
Pretty good. They are going to be sponsoring the Coulter Vaught Memorial Run. It's going to be June 1st. So what was that, 2 weeks from Saturday? June 1st, open to all. It's a poker run. Not like a run.
Right, no, yeah.
Poker run. You register at the fire department here in Elk City. It's $20 per hand. Registration 10 to 11. The first bike out at 11. Last bike in at 4 o'clock at the Civic Center. Low hand is $100. High hand is $200. 50-50 auction items as well. Dinner by donation at the end of the ride. It's open to all street legal vehicles. That's the Coulter Vaught Memorial Run coming up June 1st. 2024. For more information, you can contact a couple of guys, Jeremy Jones at 580-497-6923 or James Chester at 580-821-1126. We'll continue to hit that throughout the next couple of weeks before we get all the way to that run. Sit here watching a video of Tiger hitting pitch shots around the greens. All three of them had a tee setting out there about, I don't know, 30 or 40 yards. And all three of the pitch shots ended up about, I don't know, a foot from the tee. Then here's an iron shot that he just lasered right at the pin, sucked it back. Am I about to?
Don't do
it. Is Tiger going to be in the mix? Top 20?
Don't do it.
Getting all amped up for Tiger Woods. We'll see. I'm not there yet.
It's just going to make you sad, Aaron.
I'm not there yet. But, man, would it be fun. Would it not be fun on a Sunday afternoon for him to be somewhere sort of in the mix?
Of course.
Or in the mix?
Yeah, of course it would.
Big shout-out to our friends Rother Brothers over at Highway 183 just north of Clinton. Rother Brothers is a family-owned dealership started by three owners in Kingfisher back in 1976. It remains family-owned and operated to this day. They've expanded to three locations, Clinton, Fairview, and Kingfisher. Rother Brothers prides itself in creating a one-stop shop, all sorts of equipment, parts, repair services, makes and models, excellent service, huge selection, and exceptional support for their customers. That is our friends at Rother Brothers. Give them a call, 580-323-1981. Some of the brands that they carry, Case IH, Polaris, Great Plains, Rhino, Dixie Chopper Mowers, Steel Commercial and Residential Tools, and many, many, many more. All right, game five tonight, Jared. I think historically I've found a couple of different articles from different years, but it's about an 83% clip that the team that wins game five in a series tied 2-2 goes on to win that series. This one is 2-2. Oklahoma City wrestling the home floor advantage back from Dallas in that game four robbery. So what do you think we see tonight?
Well, a highly competitive game again, but I think that you mentioned the free throw thing for Dallas, which was maybe an anomaly, and I'd hope the Thunder get back into it. But what else is an anomaly is others not name Luka or Kyrie just going crazy, mainly Washington. So that being said, I the free throw thing will fix itself for Dallas, but I just can't see PJ Washington continuing this run. It's so hard for me to bank on that. So coming back to Oklahoma City, I think OKC gets off to a better start, which is another anomaly. They've had these bad starts in the last, three games. I think they turn that around. They come out amped up. They're comfortable at home. Crowd's into it. Thunder win, and I'll even go Thunder win by 10.
Okay, so why is Oklahoma City going to magically have a better start?
Because they're too good to continue to play this bad.
Okay.
I know that's simple, but it's and that's what mainly why I thought they would turn it around in game four. It's so hard for me to see them lose three in a row. And they found a way. They found a way to win that game. And I think that took such an incredible burden off their back, like of that playoff experience that we've talked about, how big that is. I think they come out loose, having fun. They shoot the ball a lot better than what they have been the last three. They're just too good to continue to play mediocre like they have been.
The numbers would suggest that what you just said cannot happen without something changing. The numbers in this series with Josh Giddey playing with the starters versus the Mavericks are putrid. Now, I realize it's a team sport and all that, but it's hard to deny when you see the analytics of this series and the reason why these starts have been so bad for Oklahoma City is the fact that Josh Giddey is on the floor. He had some decent moments in game four, but notice when it was. It was playing with the reserves and kind of having the ball in his hands. Well, guess what? The last thing Oklahoma City needs to do is have Josh Giddey with the ball in his hands with that starting lineup that has SGA and J-Dub in it. And so what does that relegate him to? On the offensive end, firing up wide open threes and bricking them. And on the defensive end, covering PJ Washington. I don't think it's any secret that one of the biggest things about this series in PJ Washington shooting, which is just incredibly better than it's been. I had it yesterday, 45.7% from three in those corner threes during the playoffs when he made 24% in 116 attempts during the regular season. That's a crazy bump. Excuse me. But I think a big part of that bump comes, in this series at least, because he's wide open. And Giddey can't guard anybody. And so, if the Thunder are going to get off to a better start, they have to change the starting lineup. And I think we saw in the fourth quarter of game four what that starting lineup needs to look like. And it changes the matchups completely. He could still have Dort guarding Doncic, but if you move Cason Wallace into the starting lineup, then that does two things. One, his quickness is more suited to guarding Kyrie Irving. And two, it moves J-Dub onto P.J. Washington, which helps that situation as well. It'll never happen because it doesn't – it looks like the Thunder – this is so – it's not as reminiscent of the finals when it was clear Kendrick Perkins should not play a second because he didn't have anybody to guard on Miami. He was great for the Thunder against San Antonio because they had Tim Duncan and banging with him, and that was a series made in heaven for Perk. Miami was a totally different animal, and he just didn't have a spot. They're not continuing the length of time with Giddey on the floor, but they've got their head in the sand and stubborn enough to continue to fall behind. And I know in all three of the losses, they've fallen behind. They've eventually gotten a lead in the third quarter of even game two and game three when they lost. But that just is not a recipe for success to me. I mean, it's like you're just spotting Dallas 8 points. Okay, it's going to be 14-6 in the first 3 minutes. Okay, now we need to play the other 45 down eight. I just don't understand why you'd hamstring yourself like that. Because nothing's going to change. Even in game one, the Thunder didn't get off to a great start. It was later where they took control of that game with different matchups out there. So I would be falling the floor shocked if they actually did it. But for a team that is so analytical based, for a coach that seems so willing to try new things, to experiment with lineups all through the regular season, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People were getting mad because he played too many. to not notice or not just give up the ghost and do what needs to be done to put Kaysom Wallace in the starting lineup, I just don't get it. I don't know why they'd be that stubborn. I don't know why you'd just put yourself in a hole just to see if you can get out of it. You know, think about what might happen if they play with a lead. You know, if it's 15 to 10 Thunder after the first half of the third quarter, or the first quarter, excuse me. Who knows how that might free things up and let those young guys settle in a little bit more instead of just constantly battling from behind. Do you think Dallas does much different, or do you think they just kind of go, you know what, we should have won game four. If we make free throws, we win that game.
I think they stick with what they're doing, getting Washington open in the corner and hoping that the free throws will take care of itself. So, no, I don't think they'll make any changes or do anything drastically different. because I felt like they had that game won. Game four, yeah, I mean, even in the closing seconds, they still had a shot to win that game, chances to win that game. So, I don't think they'll – because they're probably happy with what – they're probably thinking kind of the same thing I'm thinking. Like, there's no way Washington keep this going. But he is, so we're going to keep working it around him. Getting him open in the corner. I don't see any crazy changes for them.
I would not be shocked whatsoever. It seemed like Luka let Oklahoma City and especially Lu Dort off the hook in game four. Dort had two fouls in, what, the first 3.5 minutes maybe? And I was pretty surprised that he didn't continue or even ramp up his aggression to create that third foul and really try to take that game over. I was pretty surprised that didn't happen. I will be really surprised if one of those two, if not both, Kyrie and Luka aren't really aggressive from the start of this one to get their own. You know, Kyrie's kind of really been pretty selective, especially in the first half, so being aggressive and then all of a sudden scored some points in the second half, trying to facilitate. But I'm telling you right now, if you're Dallas and you look at that game four loss, sure, you can blame it on the free throws. But another thing that I think, because of how well he shot the ball in the series, it's almost like, man, it's still PJ Washington. I know it's the best version of PJ Washington we've ever seen, but if you look back at that box score, Doncic took 20 shots, Irving took 11 shots, PJ Washington took 19 shots. Even though he's been making them, I get it, he's been great. But if you're Thunder, aren't you okay with PJ Washington jacking it up 19 and Kyrie 11?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And maybe they're thinking the same way I'm thinking. It's like, he can't stay hot forever.
Yeah, that's what...
This is the recipe we want. We want him taking that shot, and he just keeps making them. He suddenly turned into Klay Thompson. But I think they're still thinking...
Oh, if you're the Thunder, for sure.
He can't continue this hot streak. The house usually wins. So, defensively, I think they like what they're doing, and they're just hoping he cools off.
Yeah, if you're Dallas, though, thinking about what you might change, I think the change will be Luka and Kyrie taking a vast majority of the shots and PJ Washington not getting 19 of them.
Right.
I think if you look at that box score tomorrow and it looks similar to game four in that regard, if you're a Thunder fan, you got to feel pretty good about winning the game.
Real good about it, yes.
But this, we still haven't seen the Luka or Kyrie takeover of a full game. You know, one of those two winning a game by themselves. No. And they both have that ability and have done it in the playoffs before. You know, we kind of saw Shea take it over the other day in game four. It was kind of the Shea game.
Which was refreshing, considering how he finished game three.
Yeah,
I think that was real refreshing to see him take it over in the fourth quarter.
One thing that J-Dub has got to play better, but I think it kind of goes hand in hand with changing that starting lineup, getting Cason Wallace on the floor, and then that opening up more transition opportunities for OKC as well. You know, they're toward the end of the, you know, halfway through the fourth quarter, so all of a sudden they started getting some easy buckets because the defense was creating offense on the other end. This is the biggest game since when, in your mind?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go back to the first run that the Thunder did. We kind of talked about what big games were, what some of the biggest games that have been played. But the anticipation is what we're talking about here. Maybe 2012 Western Conference Finals Game 3, an absolute necessary must-win game, and they did. And maybe I don't know. It just felt weird that the finals, in hindsight now, it was like, we're just happy to be here. So I can't really find, like, game two, for example, after going up 1-0 and looking to get a commanding 2-0 lead in the finals. It was just like, we're happy to be here. But I think the Western Conference Finals in 12, it was, we're not happy to be here. We want to win this thing and move on to the finals. So coming back home down 0-2, that was, yeah, probably that, I'm going to narrow it down to that one.
If it's a home game, to me, it's got to be game 6 of 2016.
Yeah.
If it's a home, you know, and then obviously game 7 out in the Bay Area would be next. Because it was for a trip to make it. The after KD years in the first round of the playoffs, those games that we talked about earlier, the bubble season, I just don't put those up because the truth was, you know, winning in the first round was as good as those teams were going to be able to do. Now, this team might actually have an opportunity to make it back to the NBA Finals. Who knows? Yeah. And then once you get there, anything can happen.
I mean, based on
I would go. I would go back to the game, home game, game 6, the Clay game, or the game 7 there in the Bay Area. Biggest game since then for Oklahoma City's franchise.
Do you follow the current, like they do, like daily odds of who's going to win the favorite to win the championship? As of yesterday, and I don't think it much after last night would change anything. They were like 4th. One being Boston, the two ahead of them was Denver and Minnesota. Well, something's going to change there.
Yeah, whoever wins that series.
So,
yeah, they might be 3rd now with Minnesota down 3-2.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal if you think about it, of where this team was just a couple seasons ago, and now they're considered by Vegas top 3 to win the thing.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, and that's all you want is a chance. They've had success on the Western Conference against both Denver and Minnesota. And you like your chances there, maybe. Got to get past a pesky Dallas team, and then you get to the finals. You just want that chance. It's very exciting.
No doubt.
Tonight's going to be exciting. Tonight's going to be awesome.
Feels like just the start.
That's the exciting thing for me.
Just the start of what's possible over the next handful of years. Maybe even stretch it clear out to a decade. I mean,
it's like a BOGO deal. You buy one, get one free. Like, this is bonus stuff here, man. I love it. I love it.
No doubt. Wrapping up a Wednesday right here on The Sports Animal. Perfect place to go watch the game tonight is, of course, the Boomtown Grill. Boomtown Grill has everything to satisfy any of your cravings. If you're looking for a steak, boom, got it. Like grilled chicken, boom, got it. Seafood, got that as well. Oh, you want a pizza? Got it. Pastas? Got them. Burgers, sandwiches, got them. Happy hour, yep, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. Cold beer, 11 of them on tap, 30 bottles and cans. Wine, have that. Boomtown Grill has everything. And oh, by the way, if you're looking for something a little bit on the healthier side, salads, a grilled chicken salad, a steak salad. I mean, they literally have whatever you can possibly think of at the Boomtown Grill, 2103 South Main in Elk City. Open 7 days a week, 11 to 10 on Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 on Friday and Saturday. Be a perfect place to go thunder up this evening and watch Game 5 between Oklahoma City and Dallas. Anything surprise you last night? Two home teams win.
Maybe the Knicks' domination. A little surprising. I got home just to catch the tail end of that one and watch most of the Denver game. Jokic looks the MVP, man. He is the MVP. He had some great plays last night. What, a 40-point outing? Completely dominant. They had no answer for him. So that really only surprise was just how dominant the Knicks looked after not looking so good the last two.
Yeah, that's an interesting turn.
Got a feeling that thing's going the full distance, that series.
I mean, Brunson back with 44. You know, he had that streak of, what, four straight 40-point games going into the series, and he was banged up a little bit in game one that snapped that, but got back to his ridiculously dominant ways. He's had a run for the ages. Jalen Brunson has. Yeah, that probably surprised. I thought that'd be a closer game.
Well, that was the one I had pegged as being a one that I think a road team could win. Mm-hmm. We asked that question.
Yeah, you kind of felt Denver, Minnesota coming back at home. The Nuggets, after winning, going down 0-2 in their home on their home court with two losses, going to Minnesota, winning both of those. You just didn't see the champs letting Minnesota up off the mat, right? That series isn't over, but feels like Denver's kind of figured it out. And if you're Minneapolis, think about, boy, that's Minneapolis as a sports town has just been brutalized through the years with heartbreak. And this is just going to add to that in a lot of ways. On the text line, Leland just said, did you see the guy cash his ticket?
I love the quote he gave. Said, I just can't take it anymore. Yeah. I think because he was the close game that game four was with Oklahoma City and Dallas. Yeah, I would have cashed out a long time ago, obviously, honestly. Because it was up to around wasn't around 100-something?
Yeah, maybe at one point.
Yeah.
You cashed it out for 80.
Yeah. That's still a pretty good chunk of change on a $100 bet. Are you kidding me?
You know, if Oklahoma City wins tonight, you wonder what that would have been. Mm-hmm. Now leading 3-2, or even, let's say even better, wins the series here and then would win the first two games at home in the Western Conference Finals. Where does that get to? 100 a quarter, 150?
So he's talking, obviously, somebody got a quote from him. I'd really love to know what he saw back then in making these bets, especially in the Rangers and the Thunder.
He makes a ton of bets, just futures only every year. If you don't remember this story, he had Texas Rangers winning the World Series, Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, and the Thunder winning the NBA title as a three-team parlay. If I remember right, Texas at the time he made the bet was 22-1. The Chiefs were 6-1, and the Thunder were 70-1. And he cashed it out after the Game 4 win for 80. I think I heard Jim say yesterday that he hedged some of the possible winnings for betting Dallas to win the series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which makes sense. You kind of do that all the way through if you want to continue to the end. But, yeah, I bet he did. I bet that got, like, just engulfed his daily thinking, right? I mean, $100 to win the – if he'd have rode it out to the end and the Thunder were champs, it was $1.7 million.
I think here's my conspiracy theory. I think his name is Biff Tannen. He went to the future and got
well, if he did that, he should have never stopped.
But he didn't want to tip his hand.
Unless he knows the Thunder aren't going to win at all.
Oh, there's that.
But then you would have thought he would have known exactly when, you know, it's so deal or no deal. If you remember that show on TV, mm-hmm. It's exactly what it is. Except for instead of waiting on, you know, a model to open up a briefcase, he's waiting on these games to end in the NBA playoffs with the Thunder. Yeah, I bet he feels pretty good about life right now. There's no worry.
Oh, yeah.
There's no stress on him thinking about what could happen tonight.
Yeah, that's why I don't bet, because I'd be stressing every game. I'm not a betting guy.
It's awesome. I mean, that's it's a pretty good one, no doubt about it. All right, Thunder. Mavs, game 5 tonight. You can hear it right on these airwaves. 7 o'clock pregame for an 8 o'clock tip. 83% of the time, whoever wins tonight will go on to win the series. Everyone have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll tell you what happened in the regional golf and the Thunder tomorrow right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.